person at bay or to keep a person, say, subservient or under control for you. Mike, I had the pleasure, and I say this not bragging, but out of concern for the people that were brought to me. I had to stand on the porch like a warden, okay, Mike, where they had an in-drug custody treatment program, where they brought these guys, and to me, I saw humiliation. They may not have seen humiliation. It also depends on who's the one giving the visual, what is in that person's mind. Because when they brought them to me, they brought them in a van, and when they came in, they were cuffed from the ankles to, and I had to stand there, and the police, you know, brought them. But what they had on to me was dehumanizing as far as I was concerned. Because I wasn't used to seeing that. I was used to seeing the orange, you know, how they wore the orange, suits and what have you. But they bought them in these papered blue, cover up. And the only thing that was covered up was their midsection. And the top of them were like a netted, cover up. And the legs were exposed as well. And I know the ramifications of that, so that they would not, you know, have any guns or weaponry or anything like that. But my thing, the mind is really a terrible thing to waste, even in life itself and also in, the cyber. And the reason why I say that is because when they brought these guys to me, of course they were clothed, they were fed, what have you, they had to go through the process. But the first thing they did, Mike, they got, and Dr. Demery, they got on the computer and they made a demographic of themselves, okay? Now, they were allowed to have a certain period of time with the computer, but what happened, that was their reality to face out, getting themselves out to the public so that they can gain the attention that they sought for. And what they did, and it was through the ignorance of some women, because here these guys are dressed up in white shirts and khaki pants, talking about they a doctor and an attorney and all this kind of stuff, and you sitting in an in-home drug treatment program. And that's when I say, these cyber are dangerous because it's misleading in a lot of areas. And because they didn't do one-on-one faces, as far as, you know, how they do face chat, they didn't do that there. But what they were able to do was mislead. They were misleading some really vulnerable women and some men too. Okay, let's be real. And so, but my thing is this cyber, if we don't get a handle on this, people can be more addicted to dating on cyber, having sex on cyber, because this is known to be true, okay? Doing their wheeling and dealing on cyber, okay? We have scammers on cyber. We have these charlatans on cyber that I watched something yesterday, blew my mind, where now you have all the cars have to have a computer, right? Remember when they had that year where they had all the cars that didn't have a computer? You could do, bring them in and they'll pay for them and give you the dividends of it, and each car now has to have a computer chip in it. Well, did you wonder why? You have these scammers now, okay? Well, you have, who was it, OnStar, can see your every move, and if you were in an accident, my sister scared her to death. They said, we saw you, Ms. Thornton, we saw you, it wasn't your fault. It scared her half to death because she hadn't even called the police yet, okay? But they watched her. I said, well, don't pick your nose, girl, because they're going to see that too. And I just, you know, just being real. But my thing, and it may be comical, but it's real. I said, oh, my goodness, that's a little too much for me, okay? But I also know that it's being used also for police to track even victims or track thieves. I know that. To me, that's the good part of it, right? But that other part is just really distasteful. But what I'm alluding to is these guys are coming out now from what I'm understanding. I know somebody who's in the joint. I'll say it just like I used to say back in the day, in the joint. Okay. They got access to this. They got cell phones. I said, well, my goodness, they not suffering. They getting free squares. I'm like, dude, okay. You know, and I'm like, I know we want to, re-educate them and give them a higher level of thinking for themselves so that they could do better when they get out. But not when you have these that gives you access to basically anything, okay? I ask the question, who's monitoring their activity on their iPads, okay? So guess what? They went in, and to me, as far as I'm concerned, they got rewarded iPads and cell phones. Well, back in the day, they didn't have them. And I'm realizing that possibly they did this to keep from other activities happening in the prison system. Okay. Which, you know, that's for me to even go and further research. But my thing is this, folks, we have to sometimes don't let them take away everything that's human. Does that make sense? I hope it makes sense. Don't allow them to, because what's happening, even our voices are being stolen. We really can't say too much anymore. They've been selling us down the river years ago. When I worked for a household finance company, you know, we made that money, right? But how come they went over to India where they can pay one person X amount of dollars, they can hire 50 people. So that started the process. You get machines now that do these robocalls, all right? Get you on the phone, maybe connect you into a human body. Half the time you can't understand them because it's over in India somewhere. Let's be real. But the robocall, they will keep calling and keep calling and keep calling and keep calling. You have scammers. You pick it up, boom. It don't take them a hot second to get your information. That's why the newscasters are saying, man, this scamming stuff is ridiculous. It's out the water. It's gotten so defined, Mike, that the artificial intelligence can be hacked in by these scammers who are very proficient, mm-hmm. to the point they can cause your brake pad to stick if you're going to a certain speed or to accelerate you. I don't trust these Teslas as far as I can throw them. I don't care what nobody say. Okay. I don't want no car driving me nowhere. If I got to fly a car like the Jetson, let me fly it. I don't need to speak to them and say, well, get me to such and such and such, and it zoomed me there. No, because it might malfunction. Then somebody might be mad at a girl, okay, and have me doing an air crash. I'm not trying, and it sounds comical, but we got to pay more attention to what is going on, William, to what's going on in our schools, even the method of teaching. You have teachers just sitting there collecting the paycheck. Pick up your book and do such and such and such. A young man got him and said, all you do is sit there. Why don't you talk to us?
Isn't that something?
Why don't you explain to us what you're doing? All you tell us you're here for your pay. They done got lazy. And so guess what? You got a dysfunctional children coming out of school because guess what? The cyber is teaching them. No human really interaction. Not when it comes to knowledge level. You know, William, all of y'all, we're about the same age, even though Dr. Demery tried to say I'm older. I don't care.
Well, I don't know about all that now.
I say I'm older too.
Well, I don't know about all that now.
Anyway, hey, that's for you. Hello. Anyway, see, you done come all the way out the closet. I got something for you too. Hello. Okay. But my saying is, I love the dialogue. I'm like Mike. I like to talk. Y'all know that, right? Don't say nothing, Dr. Demery. Keep it. Hold it. But I love the dialogue. That gives me a rush. Man. You know what I mean? To interaction with people, hearing your thoughts and kind of, because after I get off here, I sit back and think about what we said. You see what I mean?
Yes.
I think about it and see if it applies. I'm able to cast it out, accept it, or reject it. That's my privilege. But right now, the way things are going, it's going to be a dictatorship. You either accept what I say or suffer the consequences. Like mm-hmm. I said, I look past what's going on today. We have to gear ourselves up and get ourselves ready for what's to come. So what are you going to do? Are you going to be a sellout in your mind? Are you going to be so lazy that you can't think for yourself? You'll just let everybody tell you what to do, tell you what time to do it, tell you what to eat, when the good shopping day, this, that. This is crazy, man. I'm telling you. We need to keep that human interaction.
You're exactly right about that, Dr. Sims. We need to keep that human interaction. Think about this. I'm in school, and a teacher passes out homework. Mm-hmm. All I have to do now is go to my computer and say, look up A, B, C, D, and E, and I pass it in. I pass it in to you. So what am I learning? I'm not learning anything. Now, the four of us coming up, you get homework and even you study for a test. You had to study. Study means that you had to exercise your brain. Yes. You had to use your brain. Folks, I'm telling you, it's a slippery slope. Again, AI has some wonderful, wonderful ways that can improve society, but it's a tool, Mike. You talk about tools all the time. It's a tool that we can use, but let's learn how to use it the right way. Tell you a quick story, kind of funny. Friend of mine has a daughter, right? And the daughter, she's one of these, you know, Miss Smarties, you know, and stuff like that. And she was in on a computer. And the dad was saying, women, hold on, it's time to put that computer down. And so what she decided to do was lock the door. Well, the dad, he said, okay, go and lock it. He went and in his garage, got some tools, took the door completely off.
Oh, yeah.
He took the door completely off and took the computer. Said, now what? Okay. So this is the thing that we talk about. I want to talk about this. How does video games affect human behavior? Increase aggression, which could indicate kids learning violence. I think we open up the program with that. I talked about these kids are desensitized right now to the point that they don't think that fire burns, okay, or the bullet. If they go out at 18 to buy a video game, I mean buy an AR, whatever, or a gun, whatever it is, no, it's okay. They have been programmed. See, these things can program you, and also it can, you mentioned this earlier, Dr. Sims, it can also make you lazy. I'm going to read this again. Increase aggression, which can indicate kids learning violence from gaming, change in behavior, such as increased social isolation. Mike, let's go back to the young lady that you were dating. Social isolation. I mean, let's think about this. Or a decline in grades in school. I think I mentioned that earlier. Okay? Because guess what? If I can have the computer to answer all the questions, then what is my function? I have none. And so I'm telling you, there is a benefit to be able to learn, to read, and discern. So right now, the way this is going, and if we allow this to go down the wrong path, the way I think it has been, they have no ability to learn. Learning is a beautiful thing. When I learn something every day, and I appreciate learning. But if I'm to the point that I don't have to learn anything and I have everything, it's just like me being a rich kid with a butler, a maid, a chauffeur, and, you know, I don't have to learn how to work, do I? You have kids out here right now that feel so privileged that they feel, oh, I don't need a job. I don't need a job. Oh, I can, you know, yeah, you're supposed to take care of me. You're my parents, right? So you're supposed to take care of me. Yes, I'm supposed to take care of you. And taking care of you is to help you develop into a productive adult. Taking care of you, not meaning that I need to give you everything that you ask for. The latest iPad, the latest this, the latest that. Now, and you know I love Ann dearly. And what I love about her and her husband is that their oldest son is AJ. I think he's approaching 16. I think he's 16 now. From the Teens Talk Truth Radio Show. Mike, you've been on there. I mean, these are young men that I know that's going to grow up and they're going to be successful because the parents have instilled that in them. They taught them how to be ethical, how to be kind, how to study, you know, and not relying on an artificial device to do the work for you. And I think it is a dangerous thing when people start, and Dr. Sims, you said this earlier. If I have everybody following my program, then that is pretty much a dictatorship, isn't it? That's pretty much a dictatorship. So, I have no problems with AI if it's used as a tool to assist me. Okay? But not to take over my critical thinking. Mike, your take, brother.
I love that you brought this up about tools, because tools can be used for good and evil.
Come on, brother.
Take a baseball bat, for instance. Okay, you can go out and have fun and play with the kids and play baseball, right? Well, that baseball bat can also be used to break heads. So the problem with the desensitizing of our youth is that is becoming the norm rather than the exception.
Wow.
Dr. Sims, I wanted to go back just for a second. You were talking about manipulation of people and how you can manipulate their minds. You and I both know we can do it. I've done it. I learned how to do it, but I used it for good in my work in law enforcement.
I need to find out a lie. So guess what? I manipulated my words to get them to tell the truth. Hello.
Absolutely.
Oh boy.
Absolutely. So when I was going through college, and I
all the time, it's done in the police all the time.
Yeah.
In interrogating. Yeah.
So when I was going through college and I was in my psychology classes, I think I've told you about Mr. McWilliams, my college professor for psychology. Mm-hmm. Great guy. Funny guy, but very knowledgeable and just had us every evening. But his classes were in the evening. He had the whole class in the palm of his hands because he equated his teaching to reality, which really helped us a lot, helped me tremendously. But he inspired us to do a little trick. And he goes, you guys do a little experiment. Pick somebody out that goes to school here that you all know, and independent of each other, go up and say, hey, you feeling okay? You look a little pale. Or you don't look like your normal self. You sure you're okay? And we did this throughout the day. That student that we did this to went home early.
Wow.
Said he didn't feel good.
Whoa.
So we manipulated his mind to believe that there was something wrong with him.
Wow.
And that happens.
That's deep. That is so deep, Mike.
True.
So I have to tell you guys another story just because it'll warm the cockles of your heart. We're talking about parents being active in their children's life and what they're watching, what they're doing, who they're hanging with, all of that. Parents need to be responsible. They shouldn't go to the government and they shouldn't go to attorneys or the courts to solve the problems that they allow to happen. And I get kind of passionate about it. I'm like Dr. Sims. I get a little fired up here and there. I worked with many decades ago. I was a meat cutter for Alpha Beta, which is a supermarket chain out here, was at least in California. Actually, they were bigger than California. And I worked with a lady meat cutter, and she was Hispanic. Little fireball, too. She wasn't very big, but she could pull the big half sides of beef down and cut them all up, and she was great and funny. So her son was in junior high at the time, and her son was getting into trouble. So he wasn't doing his schoolwork. He was failing. He was messing around with the wrong crowd. He was goofing off. He wasn't paying attention to stuff. And this, she had communications with the teachers. So she told the teachers what she was going to do. So she took him to school one day, curlers in her hair. You're reminding me of this story, the curlers, right? She had curlers in her hair. She got the ugliest tore up sweater she could find. And wore it. She went to school with him, and she sat behind him in every class he had to go to. And when he would start to talk to somebody else, she'd pop him in the back of the head. She goes, "No, you pay attention." She's a little fireball,
right?
And she made her point. She manipulated her kids. I can do this every day if we need to. And he knuckled down and he started behaving because he didn't want mom there with curlers in her hair and this ugly, nasty Christmas sweater or whatever she was able to find. So we have to stop, as parents in particular, we have to stop letting all this IA become babysitters. That's because the parents are getting lazy. I think it's occurring because the generation that's parents now, their parents kind of let things slide. So now it's that slippery slope that William King's talking about. So as each generation comes forth, a little more slips away, a little more slips away. So the parents are getting lazy. They're using AI and video games and movies and whatever else nonsense wise to babysit their kids. And you've heard me talk about this many times also. We have a society of zombies. We have the zombification of people because of AI not being used correctly. So you've got manipulation, you've got humiliation, right? You've got people that can be easily manipulated. And remember, I told you that if I ever write the book, it's going to be the masses or the asses.
That's right.
It's because they're being manipulated and they're being told it's for your own good. Just do it.
Man.
It's for your own good. No, this isn't going to hurt. No. It reminds me of the frog in the water story. And I think I've told it before, so forgive me if I'm repeating myself. But if you take a frog and you throw it into a pan of boiling water, it does everything it can to get out of that boiling water. If you take the same frog, put him in cold water, put the pot on the stove, and slowly turn up the heat, the frog won't do anything. It'll just eventually die. It won't even try to get out. So that we are becoming frogs in cold water as the heat's being turned up.
Wow.
A little bit at a time, a little chip away, a little chip away, a little chip away. So that's how I'm seeing all this AI.
Mike, I you know what? I don't care how many times you tell that story. It is still applicable to what's going on today. And you know what? It is not only happening to our children. It is happening to society overall. You've got all of these crazy people coming out of the woodwork, and people, you take QAnon, which to me, and folks, if you haven't paid any attention, they come up with all of these crazy, crazy theories, and they swear to God that it's true. And they're being manipulated by it. And the recent news here, and everybody probably over the nation probably already knows, takes Fox, for instance. And they just fired Tucker Carlson. And I'm surprised. Well, I'm really not surprised that they did it, because he almost cost them $800 million. And there's more to come. Okay. And these guys, and you have, God bless them. God bless these people that are tuning into this. And they are being brainwashed. They are being brainwashed to believe things that aren't even true. They talk about critical race theory, for instance, okay? Right. And they talk about critical race theory in schools. It's not even taught in our schools. It's a college curriculum, folks. It's not even taught. So they are projecting things onto us that's not even happening. And people believe it. So this is the influence. We're talking about video games, but we're also talking about artificial intelligence in general. And like, again, I'm going to say this: artificial intelligence, it has its place. We can use it as a tool, or we can use it as something to take over our lives. And at this point, it's taken over many, many lives, which also affects society. I'm going to read something for you. Do video games drain your mental energy? I'm going to go to Dr. Demery, and then I'm going to come to you, Dr. Sims, and Mike will be right back. Mental or physical exhaustion. If you're affected by gaming fatigue or burnout, you'll most likely experience symptoms of exhaustion, which include feeling tired, lethargic, irritable, and emotionally drained. You may also experience physical ailments such as headache or feeling physically weak. Now, Dr. Demery, with what I just said, we're talking about the mind right now. But whatever goes into our mind also affects our physical being, doesn't it? Dr. Mm-hmm. Demery, it affects our physical being, our health. If you don't think, everything is connected with us, folks. The human being is a phenomenal. God has given us everything that we need. Okay? And it encompasses all. It doesn't encompass, it doesn't affect just one part of us. It affects all of us. So if your mind isn't right, your health may not be right either. It affects what you think, what you put in your head. And think about this. If you're eating bad stuff every day, all day long, how is that going to affect you, Dr. Demery? If you're thinking bad things or you're thinking unhealthy things all day long or every day, how is that going to affect you, your physical health? Okay? It's all connected, folks. Let's look at the body as a machine, so to speak. Okay? And a machine, you have different parts that have to work in sync with one another in order for the machine to work, right? If one part of that machine is broken down, it affects the entire machine, doesn't it? Okay? I don't care whether it's a conveyor belt. I don't care if it's a computer, whatever it is. Now, we deal with, I have to deal with computers because that's how we're doing this thing that we're doing right now. Okay? And if something goes wrong here, I've got to scramble. I'm going to give you an example. Going back to the beginning of this program, the audio with you, Dr. Demery, and you and Mike, you guys couldn't hear me. And I'm looking at this thing, and I'm saying, wait a minute, hold it. And I went to settings, and the audio was working just fine on my end. I had to go out and come back in order for you and Mike to hear me, Dr. Demery. Mm-hmm. Okay? But so the point is, and this is a mechanism. If one thing that we can't have a show if I can't hear you guys. If you guys can't hear me, we cannot have a program, can we? It doesn't work that way. So what we have to understand is AI, artificial intelligence, is a tool. And I love the tool, but I do not love what some people, how they apply it. Okay? And just going back to our children. We have to be careful. Be careful and pay attention. Dr. Sims said something earlier. Parents are getting lazy. They are allowing this machine or these machines to influence their children instead of teaching them, hey, this thing is only a tool. No, you can put the computer down and you're going to pick up a book. You're going to read whatever Dr. So-and-so-and-so told you to read. All right? You're going to do these exercises because exercising stimulates your brain, mental exercises like reading, writing, learning, all of these things, it's all learning, affects your brain. And folks, I'm serious. And Mike and I, we talked about this about several weeks ago, the dumbing down of society and what AI used in the improper way can make us all stupid I'm going to keep exercising my brain. It's going to make the population stupid. And when the population becomes stupid, like Dr. Sims, then guess what? We can be easily manipulated. And what I'm saying about that, a dictatorship, because you have the powers to be that's going to be able to use that against you. And one more thing before I pass it over to you, Dr. Demery. That was a thing a few years ago, and they're talking about putting chips in everybody.
Well, they still talking about it.
Okay? God, Lord. Look, we cannot let that happen. But see, I don't want it to get to the point that these corporations, that you want a job, or you want to eat, you want to support your family, you're going to have to get chipped. Okay? And in order for you to get inside the building, you're going to have to hold up the chip in your wrist here to get inside of that building. But guess what? That chip also has all of your information in it. We cannot let that happen, Dr. Demery. It's you, bro. Dr. Demery?
I would say that all of what we're saying comes down to one thing that just came to my mind. Parents have to invest in their children. They have to teach them things. Here's one real quick story, which you'd like to explain because it's dealing with finances and financial processes. And Mike might like it because it's a story about how a parent taught their knucklehead kid something. When I was growing up, I remember, and my father taught me this story. My father was a very wise man, and I'm proud of him because he was married to my mom for 63 years. And he treated my mom like a queen. And so that had direct influence on me on how I treat women and how I respect women and treat them with dignity and honor. there was a mini bike that I wanted when I was growing up. And I think, well, you may have heard me tell this story before way back, but I want this mini bike so bad. I mean, you know, everybody had a mini bike in my neighborhood, but I didn't have one. And I wanted a mini bike. And so that's all I could talk about. I took pictures of it, put it up on my wall and this and that and the other. And then finally one day my father got me and he said, come on, let's go down. We're going to get the mini bike. Man, I was jumping out of my skin. I was so happy. So we got down to the dealership and my father was looking around and he said, well, which one is it? And I said, there it is right there, Dad. That's the one I want right there. You know what my father said to me? And the salesman was standing right there. My father said, well, come on and pay the man so we can go.
That part. Hello.
And so the story that I learned very quickly, if you want something in life, you got to work for it. Come and you got to save your money up. And that's what my father taught me, that if you want certain things, you have to make the sacrifice and do what you need to do to get that. So I ended up, I got a paper route. I got some odd jobs cutting grass. And my father paid for the other half of it. But he taught me that you got to earn things that you want in life. And there's a price to be paid. And always, and I've never forgotten that story. I ended up telling my daughter that story too, and she learned from, I taught her some other things, but she learned from that story, and I pass that on to people from time to time. I've used it in sermons to show people that you have to earn it. You know, it's like E.F. Hutton used to say, we make money the old-fashioned way, we earn it. You know, you've heard that before, William.
Absolutely.
And so I think that's what has happened. Parents have forgotten to teach their kids growing skills, financial skills, word skills, word studies. And I think it goes back to the fact that we have to invest in our kids. You got to put time in. You can't just, you know, give them a book or give them a video game or give them AI is what we're talking about. Give them something where you don't, as a parent, take responsibility to enact in your kid's life. I mean, that's why I have such a great respect for firearms. I mean, my father taught me, and I've got just about every gun you can think of, from from the outhouse to the White House. I got just about everything. I mean, I used to have an FFL. Mike knows what that is. I had a federal firearms license. So I have a lot of different firearms in my house. But I make sure that I am responsible. I have them locked up. And that's one of the things today that has affected me and how I treat firearms and how I treat other people that have firearms. And I think that's part of the problem. There's more than one issue involved here. Like we're talking about, William, there's several different layers. It's like an onion skin. You know, every time you pull back a layer, there's another story. But I think when parents get back to, and I'm not saying all parents have not done this, but when we get back to where the parent takes time, turn the TV off, turn the cell phone off, in Mike's case, turn the cell phone off, and then I plan whatever that game was, candy, whatever it is, and sit down and spend time with your kids and raise them and teach them. I mean, Proverbs is so clear on this. Proverbs says, when you train a child upright in the way that they should go, they will never forget it. And I don't ever forget some of those stories that my father taught me when he was in the military. I mean, he was World War II vet. I mean, you know, and he came to this country in his uniform. I remember one day we went to a restaurant to try to go eat. They would not serve him. He was in his uniform and they would not serve him. And he taught me a lesson behind that. He said, it's not the country. It's the people that are running the country. That makes the mistakes. Yeah. And so he taught me a lot of life lessons. And that's why today I'm not bitter, you know. And so I've had to work through that. And parents have to sit down with their kids. And they can learn some things from their kids.
Indeed.
You know? Parents have to realize you can learn some things. I learned some things from my daughter. You know, she taught me some stuff. And you got to sit down, parents, if you're listening to the show. Spend time with your kids. Turn the TV off. Turn the cell phone off and sit down, listen to them, talk to them, teach them stories. Mm-hmm. Train a child upright in the way they say it should go, and they will never forget it.
Absolutely. I'm going to tell you something else. And like we talked earlier, the four of us, dinner was at a certain time, and it was a time when the family got together. That was one of the most important times of my life. Mm-hmm. I learned so many different things because that was a teaching time for the parents because they just gotten off work. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. They had just gotten off work. They worked all day. Mom and dad worked, grandparents worked and things like that. And they wanted to know, it wasn't just eat and go back to your room. It was a time where we had conversation. Okay. And they asked questions. They were involved. How was school today? Okay. When are you getting your report card? Because they wanted to see that report card. They look, and it was better than good because they said, I'm out here working hard, working my knuckles to the bone. You're not coming here with a failing grade. You're going to do your homework. Okay. Mm-hmm. These are types of things. And also I was taught manners. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, sir. Please and thank you. That's simple, isn't it? That's really, isn't that simple?
You got morals.
Morals. Absolutely. My mom I'm going to share this with you, and then I'm going to you, Mike, and then back to Dr. Sims. My mom taught me something. She said, if you do right, right will follow you. Okay? If you do wrong, you're going to suffer the consequences. Do right and right will follow you. And I follow that today. I said, wow, I did something right today. Okay. All right. I did something right. No, I take that to heart. Do the right thing. You know, be fair to people. Okay. Let's get back to video games here for a second. Then, Mike, you can take it anything, any way you want. Then I'm going to Dr. Sims. Do video games affect your personality? However problematic and excessive video gaming is also associated with maladaptive coping strategies. Folks, please put a line under that. Maladaptive coping strategies, negative emotions and attitudes. Low self-esteem. Okay? Let's think about that. Low self-esteem. If my self-esteem is low, if I don't feel good about myself, it's really kind of hard for me to feel good about you, huh? Think about that. Loneliness and poor academic performance. Video games are not evil by nature, but they do not necessarily cause anxiety or depression. That's where it starts right there. But it can. It's like having an addiction to something. Okay? And if I'm using this as a crutch, then that's the wrong crutch to use because it's something I cannot fall back on that. I want to go back to something, negative emotions and attitudes. Now, I'm not saying that video games is the cause of a lot of people having bad attitudes. You have a lot of people have bad attitudes because they just have bad attitudes. Mike, question, sir. Did you say question?
Oh, no. I had a question for Dr. Demery before I go on with anything.
Why don't you do that?
He said that my parents were World War II. His father was World War II. And when I went somewhere with my dad and he was in uniform, man, everybody like saluted him and respected him and it was all very cool. And I'm wondering what was the rationale behind this restaurant refusing to serve you guys?
Because he was black. They didn't serve black folks. They didn't care whether he was in your uniform or not. There's places in the South, Mike, that you probably have heard that they didn't care who you were, what your rank was. If you were black,
okay,
you did not get served. That was the whole issue. And the lesson that my father taught me was it wasn't the people, it was the country that allowed it to go on, you see? And that's
gotcha.
Part of what happens nowadays where there was a story that you probably just heard of. There was a man that worked for this servicing company. he was going to deliver an item to the house, and the people said, the owner of the house where the delivery was coming said, well, I don't want a black person to deliver this to my house. The company should have fired him and should have not delivered anything to his house. But what they did was they ended up sending another person, and that person refused to go out of respect for the individual, you know, that was demeaned by not allowing the thing to deliver. So that's part of what that story was. You know, when you grew up in the 60s like I did, there was a lot of stuff that went on. I mean, I had stuff that happened to me, Mike, when I was in uniform. It was very demeaning, but you know, you can't let that stuff affect you and bother you. I had people when I was a cop, you've heard stories like this, they didn't want me to come to their house because I was black.
Right.
They didn't want me to take a report at their house because I was black. You know? And there were several times where I got angry with the police department for just sending another person, because all that's doing is just putting a Band-Aid on the problem.
Adding to, you know, it. Yes.
So anyway, sorry, Mike. I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, it sure did. That's, you're just condoning that behavior by giving into it. You gotta understand. I misunderstood. I thought they wouldn't serve him because he was in uniform.
No.
I didn't follow that. It was a
no. That's all right. I probably didn't make it clear enough either. I'm sorry.
Gotcha. Not a problem. So let me see. A couple of things I want to touch on real quick is the use of your mind. It's like it's a use it or lose it type thing. And they believe, or at least I've seen research shows that the more active your mind is, the more you can stave off Alzheimer's and dementia and other things. It's a use it or lose it type thing. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that William, I think, brought up is the biblical side would be you reap what you sow. You said something about good. If you do good, good will follow you.
That's
well,
right.
You're going to reap what you sow. So that's, I wanted to touch on that. And Dr. Demery, you reminded me when I'm going back to my alpha beta days cutting meat. I would do close-ups, with one of the meat cutters there, and his name was Dave. Big, tall, gentle giant. Just a wonderful man. Happened to be black. And I was working in Canyon Crest at the time. If you don't know the area, Canyon Crest back in this would have been like the early 80s, late 70s. Very snooty, very white. Neighborhood. Yeah. Money town.
Very familiar with it.
And this lady came in, and I was out on the counter, and there was a window you could look in the back to see who was cutting meat in the back. This lady comes up to me and she says, she goes, I'd like a couple of fillets. I want them 2 inches thick. And she looks back there. She paused for a second. She goes, and I don't want him to cut them.
Whoa.
And I knew exactly. I saw the black in her heart very easily. And so I manipulated her. Amazing. I used my tricks from college. I could have gone back there and condoned that behavior and rewarded her for her bad behavior.
Right. Wow.
So I told her, I said, you know what? You got to forgive me. You got to forgive me, man. I just became very humble, right? You got to forgive me, man, but I'm just a meat clerk. I'm not a meat cutter. The only way you're going to get those fillets tonight is if he cuts them. She looks back there. She takes another little pregnant pause, kind of shakes her head, and I look at her with this very, sorry, ma'am. I'm so sorry.
Well,
right. And she goes, well, I guess.
Okay.
So you can't condone that type of behavior. Otherwise, it just flourishes.
Absolutely.
Let me see. So I told you about Dave. You reap what you sow. Research. I do research all the time.
Yeah.
Because I'm older and I want my mind to stay sharp as long as I possibly can. Hopefully to the day I take my last breath and leave this earth. So I do research. I read, like Dr. Sims is talking about. Maybe not a book, Dr. Sims, please forgive me, but I read on the internet and I try to read as much diverse information I possibly can, because I want to see what all these arguments about and all the different sides. Mm-hmm. And being on this program with all of you in particular has given me insight into your perceptions, mm-hmm. like Dr. Demery. I assumed because it was the uniform. Mm-hmm. I didn't think far enough to go, oh, Christ, he's black, because I just don't see those things. Exactly. My mind just doesn't work that way, thanks to my parents. Exactly. And the last thing, yeah, we're getting down on time. The last thing I want to bring up is I used to do leadership classes and command and control classes for the department. And I would ask people, can you give me a one word definition of good management? Mm. Or what? And they come up with all these different answers. And I said, the one word, they usually didn't hit on it. The one word is inspiration. Uh-huh. And then I would always go on to show people inspiration is a way of manipulating people, by reward. So if you inspire people, they will do good work for you. So mm-hmm. you have to inspire people. That's part of good leadership.
Indeed.
The other side of that manipulation is that inspiration can be used for evil. And the one question I ask, and they all get it immediately, in the last 100 years, can you tell me where somebody used inspiration in an extremely evil way?
Yeah. Hitler. Hey,
guys. He inspired a nation that was in ruins.
Yeah, he's at the
it
top.
Was in ruins. He brought that nation back from ruins, and almost, if you know your history, he almost took over the world at one point.
Indeed.
He inspired people because the masses are the asses. You've got these sheep out there, and it's for your own good. Just do it.
Right.
Just do it. It's for your own good.
People don't realize, as you know this, Mike, and others know this too, people do not realize we were really within months of goose-stepping in this country because they were very close to developing hard water, which is what develops the bomb. They were very close to developing and perfecting the V2. And if they had done that, we'd be goose stepping right now.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. I'm going to tell you a quick story and then I'm going to go to Dr. Sims and then we'll come around. We're going to have to close it out. I thought in the beginning that I said, okay, Ann's not here. I've got to prepare for this other show that's coming up in a little over an hour. So we're only going to go 90 minutes today. I should have known better. All of you guys like to talk, so anyway.
And you don't really.
Wait a minute, I got to play some Candy Crush here. Wait a second.
Hey, I'm going to tell you a quick story about one of our panelists, which happens to be Mike Ward.
Oh no,
Mike is a friend of mine, and before that, Mike was. Well, we became friends. It sort of like simultaneously because before Mike. This is my other business because you guys know I'm a former stockbroker, financial advisor, blah, blah, blah. Yep, I got to give myself a plug here. StudioWBuzz.com. Write me if you guys need some advice. But anyway, I met Mike, and before Mike decided to do business with anybody, he did it was almost a year of research. Almost, I'm serious about this. Almost a year of research. I was meeting with Mike once a week, once every other week or whatever it was for an entire year. So it came down to me and this guy at a bank. I'm not going to give them a plug because they're not paying.
This is a good story.
Okay. And so we were in there and this guy, okay, he was sitting there with his suit on, sitting the ball, you know, and things of that nature and wanted to know, well, Mr. Brown, I'm so and so and so. And he listed out all of his credentials. I said, okay. And so then he said, well, what credentials do you have? Well, it just happened to be that I had more credentials than he did. Okay. And so, but it came down to that he started trying to pick it and trying to put me down, put me down, put me down, put me down. And this went on for about 35, 40 minutes or so. And then Mike said, he said, William, I would like for you to come outside with me. Come on, let's go walk outside. And walking out, this guy said, bye, Willie. He thought he had the deal. Okay. And so Mike and I were standing outside of the bank on the sidewalk talking. This guy decides to come out and interrupt our conversation. Well, what about this? What about that? And Mike says, Jim, I will be in there. I'll see you in a minute. And I haven't told this guy, hey, dude, you're being rude. You're being rude, blah, 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 blah. He went back inside and Mike turned to me. He says, I will never do business with that guy. I do not like the way he tried to disrespect you. Okay, I will never do business with anybody like that. And I'm saying to myself, I never told Mike this. Wow. I mean, this is a real guy here. Mike is a real, real guy. It doesn't matter whether he's black, white, green, yellow, or purple. He's a real person. Okay. And so
I thank my parents.
Yeah. Thank God for them because they taught you right to respect human beings. And everyone. So I said, Mike, I said, you may go back in there with you. He said, nope, I got this. Okay. And so I waited for about 20 minutes outside. Mike came and says, okay, I'll have a check for you tomorrow. Wow. He lost the deal. And, you know, and I said, wow, if there were more people like Mike in this world, it would be a better world. So thank you, my friend. And we've been friends ever since.
I'm very flattered. Thank you.
No, that meant a lot. That meant a lot because you stuck up, you stood up for what was right. And Dr. Demery, Dr. Sim, I held my tongue that day.
You held my tongue. You were the professional. He was not.
That's
you were the professional. He wasn't the professional. You were.
Right. And Mike and I have been friends ever since. And so is his brother, Warren. In case you would listen, Warren, there's two great guys. And honor to your parents, Mike, for bringing you up the right way. And this is what we need to teach our children, to do the right thing. Like I said, you do right, right will follow you. And I got that from my mom. I can't believe we're out of time.
Even when no one's looking,
God's
over your shoulder, he's looking.
Right, right, right.
Can I say this one thing, please?
Please do.
This one thing. I was listening to you and you said, can media change personas of personality and their demeanor? It is true that it can, because it has. You have children who are murdering their parents because items are taken away from them. Set of twins who almost tried to kill their parents are now suffering or experiencing 20 years in prison. It was behind media mechanisms. And so, yes, it can change the behavior. The parent is in competition with these media gadgets. And these media gadgets and these computers are indoctrinating our children in school. So they're at a tug of war when it comes to controlling their children. It's changing the children's behavior. The children were walking around with a sense of entitlement and demanding of the parent. That's why they're going off. And their whole reality has been shifted. They're not living in reality. And we say the parents are supposed to take it back. It's hard because you have the fight is not just in the house. It's outside of the house. It's with who they hang with. It's with the school. It's with businesses. Everybody has these mechanisms and they're using them because they haven't been directed to use them in the right way. And yes, one of the things that I was listening to everybody and their, you know, your camaraderie and what have you. We have good people in our lives. One of the things you said about Anne instilling the life in her sons, I can co-sign with that. And when you do that, let me tell you something, folks. Your children will instill what you've instilled in them.
Amen.
I look at my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren being raised with old custom ways, okay? And they like in the word of God said, train up a child in the way he should go, Dr. Demery. And when he gets older, he will not stray away from. And it also said, spare the rod, spoil the child. God knows what he's talking about. And so you have these children that are not being corrected. So guess what? They have a sense of entitlement. And what I'm saying, we've got to go back to the old foundation, the old principles in raising our children. Forget what the police says. And I know it sometimes it get hard. I heard a mother say, and I'm going to leave with this. The daughter was acting up and cutting up and the mom was getting ready to sock her a new one. Okay. I'm just saying. And so the daughter called the police and the police asked what had transpired. And so the police officer was going to go in there and check the daughter out. She says, no, you're not going to do that because you're a man. So she had to make a difference. But she says, I'm going to check my own daughter. She said, because what you don't allow me to do is what you all are doing to our children in the streets. You're beating them. You're putting them in jail. You're killing them. And then you're blaming us for it when it's been taken out of our hands. So there is, I believe, a must in the homes. Take back your homes. Take back your children. take back what God has put in your hands and let whoever is trying to change it, let them suffer the consequences. Because believe me, folks, some of their kids is not as acting out as much as some of our children are. And the first thing they'll say, you've got some bad kids. Well, guess what? We've got to instill old time values in our homes. And we've got, first off, learn to appreciate each other, period, period. I don't care what walk of life you come from, period.
That's
and
right.
The competitive thing, stop letting cyber and women, this is my last thing, William, I promise. Don't let cyber change who you are. Stop competing with the model that you see on cyber and think you got to change your face, you got to change your body. Oh, miss me with all that, okay? I'm not trying to get cut on. I'm not trying to get Botox. I'm not trying to get all that. Because that is what media is serving us. And so you're living in anxiety. You're living in stress. You're trying to keep up with the masses. Baby, if he going to look at you, he's going to look at you for who you are. And media is not going to dictate my outcome of my life, period.
Dr. Sims, Miss CC's yes, Kitchen comes on when?
It comes on every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 6 Central Standard Time, and 7 Eastern Standard Time. And we're on for an hour, but we're on Spotify. We're on LinkedIn. We're on Studio W Buzz. Folks, go over there. And yeah, listen, like I said, lazy people, stop being lazy, okay? Go on over there and subscribe, okay? I mean, you subscribe to everything else, and a lot of it is nonsense, okay? I'm just saying, all right? So you're going to say, well, how dare you say that? Well, I can, because I know what's up. I know what's out there and what people are being fed. But we're dealing with controversial issues, the good, bad, and ugly, whether you like it or not. Come on in. Come on in. Dialogue. My phone lines will be open. Come on, give us a call. We'll talk to you.
It was a great, great show. I loved how you had phone calls coming in last Thursday. That was an excellent addition to your program. So thank you so much. StudioWBuzz.com. Miss CC's Kitchen comes on just before Mad Mike and Wild Will. Mad Mike and Wild Will Coast to Coast. What is that all about?
Well, right after CC's Kitchen, the real entertainment starts with Coast to Coast and Wild Will.
No, you did.
Mad Mike.
Yeah, we got something for you to pop on.
I can't even say it with a straight face. I can't even get away with it. So we do a music show that we kind of call it controlled chaos, in that we play such a wide variety of music that I've never seen any other station, whether it's on the internet or not on the internet. I've never seen anybody do such a wide variety, and not just a wide variety, but we also try to highlight new artists, young artists, songs that you've never heard before. We throw some silly stuff in there. Wild Will and I, we pick at each other, and I don't think there's any black pepper, though. I don't know anything about that. Anyway, we start at five o'clock on the West Coast and 8 o'clock on the East Coast. And we just have a good time for 3 hours, and it's like this show.
It is so much fun.
So fast. I mean, we could probably do 5 hours. We have a good time. I'm sorry, Dr. Sims, the acoustics here are terrible. Like, you're breaking up, I think.
Like, don't go Will. I mean, what's his name? Wild Will.
Yeah, that's right. Wild Will. Mad Mike and Wild Will. And Ann tried to tell me it should be Wild Bill. Look. Number one, I hate the name Bill. Okay? I do not. Okay. And I'm not trying to copy a cowboy show that was back in the 50s anyway. It's
but
Wild.
He was fine.
It
he
is. I don't care how fine he was. I'm Wild Will. I'm fine too. Okay, Dr. Demery. Dr. Demery. Okay, the Mentone Congregational Church. Now, how do we find it?
Go right up Highway 38, which Ligonia Avenue turns into Highway 38. We're right in the corner of Barrel and Highway 38. If you go past the Three Crosses, you went too far. If you get to Crafton Boulevard, you went too far. Come every Sunday at 10 a.m. You will be challenged. I guarantee you that. And then we're going to feed you and give you a hug and send you on your way.
Yeah, and I tell you what, and Dr. Demery Boy makes some of the meanest greens, Dr. Sim, and Mike, his collard greens, they are outstanding.
And do you use black pepper?
I'm might put a little bit in there.
Folks, we are out of time. We've been out of time. Got to go. Hey, love you guys. Thank you so much. And this has been an intriguing program here. And it's one that's necessary to be taught. People don't talk about it as much as they talk about AI and all the benefits of AI, but also let's look at the other side too, because like Mike said before, it is a tool. Don't substitute that for real, real learning and brain exercise, folks. And then do not let it run your household. Do not let it indoctrinate your children. Take it for what it is, a tool. That's all it is. Guys, I got
stay
to go.
Stay in charge. Yeah, stay in charge.
Stay in charge. And like, I think Dr. Sims says, did you say take your house back or take your home back or take some?
Yes. Take your control back.
Take the control back of your home, folks. Don't let the computer do it for you. Hey guys, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for tuning in to our audience around the globe. StudioWBuzz.com. Anywhere around the globe, StudioW.Buzz. You can be in Europe. You can be anywhere. And just tune into StudioW.Buzz on Apple. Go to your Apple App Store. Download Studio.W if you don't have it on your Apple device. Android, Studio W. Let's see, Alexa, Google Play, Apple CarPlay. We're all over the place. Anyway, so much. And this program will be on Spotify and iTunes. So, hey, have a great night. Dr. Sims and Dr. Mike Ward, we will see you both on Thursday.
What is Dr. Tisdale?
I have no idea. He's out. I don't know. He might be gallivanting around the country somewhere. I have no idea. He'll be back with us soon. And Ann will be back with us next week. So anyway, guys, thank you so much. I couldn't do this program the way as effective without you. So thanks a lot. We will talk to you on the other side. But in the meantime, if you aren't doing anything tonight, kick back, grab a glass, and enjoy Sunday Night Gold right here on Studio W The Buzz, your global radio network. Nice. Good night, everyone.
Bye.
See y'all.
Hey, have a good time.